I got to have breakfast with one of my grandsons today, and the diner was packed. A lot of people taking their fathers out for breakfast. It was really quite good. So happy Father's Day. The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting at verse 35. It's a story we all know, but let's hear it again. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with him in the boat, just as he was, and there are other boats with him. But as they were sailing, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" He woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On October 31st, 1922, Benito Mussolini became Prime Minister of Italy. And he began the project that he promised he would deliver on, what we know as fascism. He began the process of destroying the nation of Italy for a generation or more. Because he was determined that he could reform the country in his image, and everyone would pay homage to him. Il Duce. He was, in his own mind, the next Caesar. Now, anyone who had listened to his rhetoric and the rhetoric of the fascist party should not have been surprised at all, because it's exactly what they said they were going to do. October 31st, 1922. There was a young mother, a single mother, which was unusual in Italy at the time, in a little town called Ritorbito in Lombardy. And she was a single mother because her husband, the father of her two small children, had abandoned her. And she looked around and she saw the state the country was in, and she dreamt of a promised land called America. And something we've come to know is the American dream. And this brave young woman, who barely spoke a word of English, took these two small children on a little boat called the Cantarossa, which left Genoa, Italy, a few months after that fateful day, and took that arduous, uncomfortable, steerage class journey to New York City and started a new life because she believed in the American dream. A few years later, 1928, her son, one of those two children, Francesco, needed to go to work. He was only 13 years old, but he needed to go to work to help support his mother, who was literally scrubbing floors to make ends meet. But hey, it was 1928. It was the height of the Roaring Twenties. There was money all over the place. They were in New York City, so this 13-year-old boy, every day after school, he would go to this gentleman's club in Manhattan near Wall Street, where the great and the good spent money like it was nothing. And he would clear tables and do menial jobs, and he was paid an extremely meager salary. But boy, that extra money really helped. He took some of that burden off of his mother, because he didn't have a father. A year later came the crash of 1929. A year later, the bottom fell out. People in Wall Street were literally jumping off buildings and killing themselves. No one believed the American dream anymore. Except this 13-year-old boy, now 14. And there was someone at that club who took a shining to him and made sure that he didn't lose that meager paying job. 30% unemployment. This little boy still had his meager wages every day, waiting tables, cleaning tables, mopping floors, so that he could help his single mother make ends meet. And he did that for another 8 years. And during that time, he not only finished high school, he got a degree in accounting and became an accountant. He still believed in the American dream, and he was going to live it no matter what. And he was so thankful for that little meager job that he had. And in April of 1937, he said to his bride-to-be, "Here's the deal. If we marry, I will give you the life our parents dreamt for when they came here." And that was the promise. A few weeks before they got married, however, he changed his name from the most operatic sounding name you've ever heard, Francesco Mario Giuseppe Bottini. Isn't that the most beautiful name? It sounds like an opera. He changed it to the more American sounding Frank Barnes. And he was my father.
Oh.
My father. And the deal he made with my mother was not only that they would have the American dream, but that he would be the antithesis of his father. He would learn from his father's failure. And he went on to become the best father, no offense to any of you, that ever lived. But he taught me two very important lessons that came from that experience. The first one is, don't lose faith in what you know to be true, no matter how bad things get. Don't lose faith in what you know to be true, no matter how bad they get. And the second thing is, never complain because someone's got it worse. Someone's got it a lot worse. Helen Keller, who was born without hearing, sight, or speech, famously said, "I complained that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet." You know, in some ways, I think that's what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. He had it pretty bad. But boy, it could have been a lot worse. And he knew from experience. And you know, when our church is going through the turmoil we're going through, I think we sometimes think, oh, no church has ever gone through anything so horrible. It's the history of the church, folks. The history of the church is one of disagreement and disappointment and even division. But God turns division into multiplication. He does it all the time. Our dear pastor is now multiplying the church in South Boston. Praise God. Amen. And we will multiply the church here. Provided we don't lose faith in what we know to be true. And we don't wallow in our own pity. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't real hurt, because there is, and we've got to address it. That doesn't mean there isn't real discouragement, real disappointment, real doubt. Some people are losing faith in what they know to be true. We've got to address it. and then move on. And, you know, Paul founded the church at Corinth. He founded it. He spent a year and a half of his life working with his own hands as a tent maker with Aquila and Priscilla. They had a tent making business in Corinth. And they used that so as not to be a financial burden on the church, in order for the church to thrive and flourish, and it did. But then when he left to go to Ephesus, right, in order to spread the gospel, other people came in and started disrupting things, and they started questioning, who is this guy Paul? He's not very articulate. In fact, he's really probably not the most gregarious guy you ever met. Paul fought with a lot of people. He fought with Paul, he fought with James, he fought with Barnabas. You know, he wasn't the most gregarious guy. But in spite of that, he never stopped loving the people of Corinth. So he never stopped loving the church of Corinth. And then he writes to them and he says, look, now is the time for us to put our differences aside. Now is the time for us to heal. And let me tell you what the proof of my apostleship is. The proof of my apostleship is the suffering. It is the pain. It is the discouragement. In his case, it was shipwreck and dishonor and beatings to within an inch of his life and imprisonment. And ultimately, it was martyrdom. But what kept him going? He never lost faith in what he knew to be true in Christ. And that's the challenge for all of us whenever we go through any of these things. It's that we don't lose faith in what we know to be true in Christ. And so that wonderful story in the gospel about Jesus in the boat. You know, Jesus had been preaching all day long in the hot sun to hundreds and thousands of people. And when the day was over and the people left, what did he say? He didn't say, let's get a good night's sleep here, guys, and then tomorrow we'll cross the lake. He said, let's take advantage of the nighttime and cross the lake now in spite of the possibility that we're going to hit storms. Because he had a mission to accomplish. And as they're crossing the lake in the middle of the night, a boomer comes. And the boat starts to take on water. And Jesus is asleep, literally, in the back of the boat. That's what's called the sleep of the righteous. And they wake him up, and it's interesting, they wake him up, and they insult him when they wake him up. Don't you care that we're dying? But notice the scripture says he doesn't rebuke them. He rebukes the wind and the waves. And he reminds them why they should not lose faith in what they know to be true with his actions, with his love, with his power. And all of a sudden, they were reminded, why were we worried? We've got Jesus in the boat. One of my favorite stories as a father is when I went in one time at bedtime to tuck in my youngest daughter. And I kissed her on the forehead and said goodnight. And out of the clear blue, she just blurted. And she had a little lisp. She said, Daddy, I love Jesus. And I kid you not, this is a true story. I said, why do you love Jesus? And she said, Jesus knows what's under the bed. To a three-year-old, what's under the bed is scary. But she loves Jesus because she knew that Jesus knows what's under the bed. That is good theology from a three-year-old. So here's the point. Our God is not a God who abandons his children. He is a faithful father. And he knows what's under the bed of Union Congregational Church. And he says to us, fear not, have faith, because I'm in the boat with you, even until the end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Father, and that you never abandon us. We thank you that you are with us every step of the way. And like any good father, you let us sometimes stumble, sometimes make mistakes, sometimes break your heart as well as each other's. But you pick us up every time. You brush us off every time. You hold us. You kiss us. You remind us of your love. And you send us off again to do your will. May we never lose faith in what we know to be true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.